Thank you, guys. Well, the first thing I have to say is I need to check our workman's comp policy and make sure it's okay if people are jumping out of chairs. So I'm not sure about that. But anyway, so we are wrapping up today. Jason, need help? I need five chairs across here, please. So we're wrapping up our Proverbs series today because, believe it or not, it's about time to hit the road to Easter. That'll be coming pretty quickly. And so those announcements and things that relate to resurrection celebration and all of that, make sure you're paying attention to that because that's coming very, very quickly. The Easter Cantata, very, very quickly. So all those kinds of things that are happening. So this morning, we're going to continue with using the kids and the youth to help me a little bit with the sermon today. Laura and I talked about it, and she felt like there would be a way to get the kids a little bit more involved in some of the different services. So on the fifth Sunday of a month, that'd be about four of them throughout the year, we're going to emphasize the youth and the kids and get them involved, and that's why Jordan did the announcements, which, by the way, David is a little worried that he didn't have a job now. But anyway, it's just an opportunity, one, just to help get them involved, but two, so we can recognize and as a church show that we value the kids and the youth. And that's part of what some of the sermon from the Parenting and Proverbs is all about also. So they're going to help us review a little bit. And let's see, we've got some of the younger kids that went to the nursery. There's a couple of them that can come back. So let's go ahead and get them. And then I want all the kids and youth, which, by the way, we're missing two families who are normally here every Sunday. And, of course, they're not able to be here today, but that's okay. We'll go with that. But I want all the kids and the youth, come on down. Youth, I want you guys to just sit over here for a minute. And then I want the kids to come here. And how many little kids do we got? Okay, guys, everybody grab a chair right here. Everybody grab a chair. Okay? I thought we had, Riley's coming. We got one more coming here in just a second. Okay? All right, here we go. And we'll let her dad help. Okay. Now, you guys can sit on the pew first, okay? You can sit on the pew first. We'll save you guys here for just a minute. All right. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to let the kids help us a little bit. Just Josh, and Josh, you get the fifth chair. Okay? You get to act like a child and get away with it today. All right? Okay. So we've been working on 5553. That was the number that I began with this Parenting and Proverbs thing. And so each of the fives, each of the numbers represents something. So that was a little over a month ago. We started with the first five. And so there were five terms that we're calling the five life threads. And these are the things that we're trying to teach our kids as they grow. And they're kind of a little bit in order matters. So just randomly hand them out, Lord. Just randomly hand them out. Okay, I want you guys just to hold those up so everybody can see them. Okay? Hold it out. There you go. There you go, Jackson. Good job. Okay. Josh gets the last one. Okay. All right. All right. So this is going to be slot number one right here. And we kind of talked about these in a particular order. So just yes or no, are they in the right order? No. Good guess. All right. Does anybody brave enough to tell me which one should go in the first slot? Okay, respect. We started with respect. We used a couple of passages from Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and built off of that. All right, so who has respect? Okay, McKenna. Okay, so switch. All right, now you're in spot number one. Oh, I just noticed that Laura has them numbered already. I don't want to pretend like you can't see that. See, so maybe Sheila wasn't as sharp as we thought she was. She can just read numbers. Yeah, I can't read them from there. All right. Anybody besides Sheila know what number two is? Okay, wisdom. Okay, so where's wisdom? All right, Riley, we need you down here. So, Dustin, you get to move again. Okay, watch out. All right. Yep, right there. Good job. Okay. Uh-oh, just hand it to Laura. Oh, okay, you're just going to give Daddy a hug? Yeah, she just wanted a hug. Okay, awesome. Okay, and I think we got it in order. Ready? Okay, so here we go. Respect, wisdom, grace, perspective, and destiny. Now, I'm not going to preach the whole sermon again, a lot of the verses that we looked at in Proverbs and stuff. If you want those for your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, just to have in mind, what are ways that we can teach and help reinforce these ideas with our kids? And here at church, in our Sunday school classes, in Vacation Bible School, in anything that we're doing with our kids, we're trying to work on these concepts. And they're pretty general, but the idea is respect is one of the first things that kids need to be taught. How do you respect people of authority, and how do you respect the rules and different things like that? And then, wisdom moved on me. But that's all right, Josh. Just hang on to it. You're fine. You're fine. Wisdom, grace, perspective, destiny. Who remembers what the word in Scripture that we're watching for that's going to tell us it's talking about destiny? It starts with a P. Path. Any of the Bible verses that talk about the path that we're on, the path that God has laid out, those types of things, is talking about those things. Okay, so Laura, take those back from them. Well, I don't know if they can hold two or not. Jackson can. You think you can hold two of them? You can hold two. Can you hold two, Josh? Yeah, I don't know. You can? Okay. I think we can. All right, let's just go ahead and hand these. All right, so, yeah, so these are the five attributes of God. And we put them kind of in parallel with some of these ones. We talked about the holiness of God. The faithfulness of God goes with wisdom. The fact that God is a loving God goes with grace. The creating God, and the idea behind that, and that's not necessarily a perfect parallel, but the idea is when we view and understand that God is the God who created the universe, it changes our perspective. It also helps us understand that God's perspective, of course, is quite different than ours in that. And the last one is sovereign, which is sovereign and destiny. I think it was last week that I gave you the all the paths and everything, and God's able to distinguish and understand those. Okay? So those are the two of the fives right there. All right. Now, you guys can put those down, and we'll hand out one more. The next set of five dealt with things that I specifically said for the young people. So this was specifically for you guys, that many times we have trouble giving or allowing young people to take responsibility. We do things for them much too long. I mean, it's just part of how our culture is wired, how we all struggle with sometimes. I had a conversation with a young man one time that was in high school, and I can't remember how we got to the conversation, and I said, something about some clothes that he had. I said, well, you don't wash your own clothes. He said, yeah, I do. And I'm like, no, you don't. He said, yeah, I really do. He said, when I turned 12 years old, my mom just said she wasn't washing my clothes anymore. I'm like, wow. And his mom stuck to it. So he had to learn to wash his own clothes at 12 years old. That would almost be considered child abuse in some situations. Today, and some of you are thinking, what do you mean? I had to wash my clothes when I was 8 years old. Maybe so. But the point is, a lot of times we don't give or don't let young people take responsibility. So these were the things that we talked about, responsibilities for youth. So the first one, listen to instruction, and these are not necessarily in any particular order. Tell the truth. Third one, Dustin, learn to work. All right, Riley, and you get this one. Develop discipline and control your tongue or anger. And those are something that we would expect of any person that's growing up. It's something we would expect of an adult. But if you want to have responsibility, take responsibility. These are not the only five, but we specifically drew these from different things in the book of Proverbs. And I think that was the second sermon. So if you look at sermon number two back on the table, I've got the verses and things that all went with that. Okay? All right. You guys got 555? You got it right here, right? Yeah, not so much. I told Laura what we were going to do is randomly draw a name, and whoever we drew had to come up and put them in the right order. But we were afraid that you wouldn't go for that, so we decided we'd do it this way. All right, guys, thank you very much, okay? Josh, thank you. All right, guys, you can get your signs back to Laura. And then we're going to work on another part. All right, so now we want to work a little bit on the three. 5553, what's the three? This is something that I wish I had found when I was just starting out with kids. I don't know if I would have been smart enough to know how to implement it or deal with it, but it deals with this problem that we as adults have, even in the church, sometimes explaining to young people why you should do certain things. It has to deal, a lot of it deals with the concepts of different moral values and things, which obviously moral values, traditional moral values, are very, very much under attack today. And I don't know if attack is the right word, because there's a group of people, there are many that have an ideology which basically says those traditional moral values are not the right values, that they keep people oppressed or that they are bad for people. So part of our struggle in the church is how do we stand and how do we know why we believe the values and things that we do? And so this thing comes from Josh McDowell's Right and Wrong. It's one of the books I told you about. And I'm only going to give you this morning a very small piece of it. But it'll be three words. And he refers to it as the test of truth. And so once we get done with these three words, I think you'll understand. And I think it'll help kids even understand a little bit about why we believe certain things. For parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, it gives us a little bit of basis to think about some things that we've even tried to explain and maybe didn't know how to get there on that. So the three words are precept, principle, and person. A precept is just simply a law or a rule. For example, if you read Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is this amazing chapter in which the psalmist is writing the entire Hebrew alphabet and using it as a guide to give all the information, or not information, but all the things that he feels and understands about God's law. And one of the words that are used is precept. So a precept is something as a parent that we tell our child, and we expect them to obey it, but we don't give them any reason why necessarily. Now you say, well, we should always give a reason why. Well, when you're dealing with a two-year-old, you don't have the ability to give them lots of reasons. That's why we often resort to, because I told you so. Okay, but if we haven't taught our children about respect, the even because I told you so doesn't carry any weight. So that doesn't get you anywhere either. But a precept is something that is given that is just the rule or law. So for example, tell the truth is a precept. It's a statement or a command or a rule that we're supposed to tell the truth. Principle, then, are the things that we would say in order to build the case. What's the principle behind telling the truth? Now, that's usually as far as we ever get. It's the third part of this that we struggle with. And basically because I don't know that it's a concept that's really taught very well, or that it's maybe said. I know I've talked about it and preached about it. Some of you might even hear some of the sermons we've done in the past come out in this, because there's a line that I will often talk about, that what is right and what is wrong, what is sin, as Laura was talking about with the kids, it's not sin because God said so. It's sin because if you do what is opposed to God's character, to who he is, that makes it sin. It's not because God set down a bunch of precepts and we disobey the precepts that it's sin. It's because we're rebelling, we're breaking, we're working opposed to what God's character is what makes it sin. So we're going to work on a little, the kids are going to help me with a little project here. And so I was going to make some yardsticks. And I couldn't find any yardsticks in the building, so I made some. So I'm going to have the kids help me. And what we're going to do is we're going to measure the stool. Now, let me set up a guideline. First of all, when you measure it, I want you to measure it on this side right here, okay? So you're just going to put the yardstick right like this. Okay, it's marked off in feet and inches. So you're going to give me the measurement in so many feet and so many inches. Except don't say it out loud first. Just measure it, all right? And then at the same time, I'm going to have you all give your measurement. Okay, so Caden, I'll let you go first, and you can take this one. Okay, make sure I'm giving it to you. Okay, right side up. Okay, so just take that, grab it. Okay, measure it to the bottom of the stool right there, and just round it off. So what's the closest? Well, let's go to the top. Looks like that makes it. So, okay, so the big number down here is feet, okay, and that's inches. Okay, you got it? So it'd be that many feet, that many inches. Okay, got it? Okay, can you remember that? Mm-hmm. All right. All right, Leland, I'll let you go. Same thing, just set it right up there. And we decided to measure the top, so yeah, right there. So that's feet, that's inches. Got it? All right, who's next? Jordan, you're next. And Ella, I want you to come up, and you're going to use the, okay? So, Jordan, you can hold it. You can use that one. Okay, got it? All right. The reason I didn't want them saying it out loud, because I didn't want the rest of them to cheat off of the first one. All right? Okay, got it? All right, here we go. All right, what'd you get, Caden? 1 foot, 8 inches. 2 foot, 1 inch. 2 foot, 6 inches. 1 foot, 8 inches. I think you had the same ruler. Okay, so do we have a problem? Okay, because it's the same stool. They should all what? They should all be the same height. Okay, because that's objective. That's not changing. So in other words, if I'm using my measuring device, all of them should be the same. So what's wrong with our measuring devices? They're wrong. Are they all wrong? You don't know. Okay? You don't know if any of those are right. One of them may be right, but you don't know which one. So here's our dilemma. How do we know which one's right? How we figure that out? I'll throw that open to any of us. How are we going to figure out which one's right? It's clearly objective. We should be able to come to an answer, but these guys all disagree. So how are we going to determine who's right? I heard somebody say it, I think. The two that are the same. Well, there wasn't two of them that were the same, though. They were all three different. Ron? You have to have a standard, okay? Well, I just happened to bring a tape measure, which wasn't made by me, okay? Obviously, when I made these, I didn't do a very good job, did I? Okay, so each of you hold these, and let's see if we can figure out which one's right, okay? So we're going to compare these. I'll let you two guys. Here you go. You can hold this one. Okay, so turn this up like this. Okay, Leland, grab that tape measure and put it on the end. Okay, now you tell me. Now, you don't have to go all the way to the end. Just look right here. Okay, you guys look at that and tell me, does this stick work with the, in other words, right there is 1 foot, but where's really 1 foot? Okay, doesn't match, does it? Okay, so this one's no good. Okay, hang on to that. All right. From right here. Okay, Leland, kind of look at that, and Jordan. Oh my, where's the 1 foot at? Okay, there's 1 foot, that doesn't match, so that's no good. Okay, now let's see if this one matches, Ella. It's pretty close. Okay, so that one's the closest. Do you remember which one of you guys used this one, you know? No, let's see what this one said. It is 2-1, okay? So 2 foot, 1 inch, 2 foot, 1 inch, okay? So this is the correct one. Now, were we basing this on our feelings? Was there anybody out here? Man, I kind of think that's probably the right one because it just kind of feels right. No. Now, some of you may have a really good eye and you could look at that and guess pretty close. Okay? But the idea is when we're measuring, if we don't have a standard, it's just not going to work. Now, this is an interesting thought experiment. Let's say I had five of these. I give them to five carpenters, but every one of these is marked differently, like your rulers. And those same five carpenters all went to build a house, the same house, together. They're all going to work together. How's that going to go? Not very well, okay? Because they're all using different measurements. One guy is standing on the ladder. He measures the thing, says, I need a 2-foot, 1-inch board. The other guy pulls out his ruler, which is different, and marks 2-foot, 1-inch. Not going to fit. Matter of fact, it would be an abject disaster, wouldn't it? Okay, now, here's a question. How do you know this is right? How do you know this is right? We just kind of assume it. Have you guys that are carpenters and gals that are carpenters, have you ever taken two of these and put them side by side to check to see if they're right? A couple of you have, maybe. But most of us just assume that they're right, okay? So somewhere in France, there is actually a place, a building, which is called the International, it's the building that houses the International Weights and Measurements. And in that building, they have various objects and things that have been designated, this is the most precise measurement for 1 meter, or 1 pound, or 1 kilogram, those types of things. And so in theory, all of these measurements go back to that same standard. So if you have 1 meter in America, it should be 1 meter in France, it should be 1 meter in Russia, it should be 1 meter anywhere. And that's, I used to know, but it's actually based on the length of a wavelength of a certain kind of light, which is something that we wouldn't know anything about. But scientists have found this, and that comes very as close to 1 meter as you could humanly get. And so our meter sticks and tape measures and all those things are based off of that. So if we're building a house and we have different measurements, it's next to impossible to build the house. Or if we get it built, it's not very pretty. If we try to build a society and we use different measurements for moral values, what's going to happen in society? Well, it's part of what we see happening now, because we've got a lot of people that are working off of different systems of measurement. Now, here's the question, and this is the question I want you guys to think about. It's kind of easy to see standards for measurements. But what about standards for values, like truth, honesty, like what a family is supposed to look like, what any kind of moral judgment or value? How do we get back to a standard, and what is that standard? So this is where the precept, principle, person comes from. Because in essence, when we're talking about values, so first one, the easiest one, to tell the truth. Now, can you guys think of a good reason to tell the truth? Any good reasons to tell the truth? It's the right thing to do, but how do you know it's the right thing to do? How do you know it's not one of these rulers? How do you know that telling the truth is the right thing to do? Now, you guys are thinking for your answer. How do you answer that? Because that's what we would go to. It's the right thing to do. Why? Why is it the right thing to do? Well, we can come up with some principles for it. One of those principles would be, well, if we don't tell the truth, nobody's going to trust us. So that would be a principle or a reason to tell the truth. What do we expect when people are telling us something? What do we expect of them? We expect them to what? Tell us the truth. Where's that expectation come from? You know, I've used this illustration two or three times, but it's almost comical to me. The more I think about this, the more comical it is. There's just different movies and different shows in which it's talking about the life of a criminal or a drug dealer or somebody like that. And at some point in those movies, there's almost always a particular time where the bad guy is upset with another bad guy because the other bad guy cheated him. Well, why is that comical? Because if they're both bad guys, why do they have any expectation that the other one is going to do the right thing? Because they have already decided we're not going to do the right thing. And I've made this comment, even drug dealers expect their scales that they're measuring their drugs on to be accurate. They expect that standard to be there. And yet, every other area of their life, they're not. So back to telling the truth. Why is it the right thing to do? Because who created the universe? God. What is God? God is truth. In other words, that is his character. It's who he is. God cannot lie. I don't know if we'll preach about it necessarily, but one of the last conversations that Jesus had before his crucifixion with Pontius Pilate, in which they're talking about what is truth. And Jesus said, I've come to testify to the truth. And so the idea that as God creates the universe, the concept, the nature of truth is woven into the universe. We, as his created beings, he's created us to have this understanding of truth. So what is sin now? Is sin wrong because God told us to tell the truth? No, sin is wrong because it breaks, it goes opposed, it rebels against the fabric of what God created in himself into the universe. So if we don't tell the truth, that's sin. It goes a little bit beyond. And that means it doesn't matter what culture you are. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It means if it breaks the standard of the character of God, then it is sin. So everything of a moral decision, what we have to start thinking of as Christian people, particularly as Christian parents, particularly as Christian kids, is how do we trace what the precept, what the guideline, what the value is down to a principle, but then how do we bring that principle back to Christ, back to God and his character? One of the things that God does all throughout Scripture is just gives examples of trying to reveal his character. And it's one of the reasons why so many of the biblical characters will say things, Lord, I know you because I know your word. I learn in my relationship with you because I know what you've taught. And by that, by God's teachings, by God's precepts, by God's law, we can begin to understand what is the actual character trait of God. God is truth. God is love. God is pure. God is holy. And on down the list with those different attributes. But a lot of times we've never really thought about why does this trace back to God? Right now, and this is where we'll wrap it up for now, but there's a bunch of different examples we need to go and need to look through. But right now, one of the issues is, what is the deal with the family? Having a family is difficult under the best of circumstances because it's tough, okay? But we have an ideology that's out there, that's being taught, that's been taught for decades, that says that the traditional family is not the standard. In other words, we all recognize there's going to be things that go wrong in families. But we have people that are intentionally teaching and intentionally saying, no, the family unit is the problem. Why? Because in the family unit, who is supposed to be the leaders of the children? The parents. The actual ideology that opposes that says that parents are not the ones that technically have full control of their children. It should be the state, the government. Now, you would be shocked if you started really understanding that some of the people that you listen to or that you hear that are in the political scene actually are operating from the principle that the government should have more control over your children than parents should. It's mind-boggling. But why do we as believers feel like the family is the best unit? Because we believe God created the earth, that God created male and female, that God created the idea of parents, that God created the concept of family. God created the idea of purity in marriage. And all of these different ideas that we understand that's right and wrong about the family, it's not that God said, this is the way you do it. The way you do it flows from the character and nature of God. There are a lot of Christians all across our country that are really struggling with how do we stand or how do we understand why what we believe is the right thing to do. And that's the challenge. Now, as soon as I say all that, there are some of you say, I want more examples. I need more situations. Well, one, you can get Josh McDowell's book in which he spells out those things. One of the other tidbits that he gives with the test of truth, in other words, how do you know if something is true, is right, is moral? Precept, what precepts does God say? What's the principle? How does it trace back to the character of God? Does it protect? Does that precept, does that rule, does that show that in actual experience that it protects us from harm? Well, look at all the people, young people today, that are being raised by people other than their parents and have come from difficult situations. It's hard. It makes it difficult. They've not been protected from some of the things that's supposed to happen. There are so many young people now that are choosing to leave their parents because they don't want to abide by mom and dad's standards. Now, mom and dad can be wrong and have bad standards. That creates a problem as well. But we can trace all these different things with the family in all different situations. We've never really thought, how do we trace it back to the character of God? So some of us might want to be involved a little bit more in some of those discussions. How do you do that? What does it look like? What are some more examples? How do you trace it back? Protects, oh, and the other one's provides. So they protect and provide. And so McDowell, what he does is kind of shows how when you follow those standards and understand God's character, how it protects and provides for us. And that's what the book of Proverbs is trying to teach. The book of Proverbs is trying to say, if you do this, then here's the results that will be good for you. But then the struggle comes is why sometimes do we do the right thing, bad things happen? Because sin has entered into that equation. And that's why when Christ has come to redeem us, to save us, yes, it is a personal salvation, person by person, heart by heart. But as hearts change, lives change, people change, families change, and even nations can change. When we preach the gospel, we don't really realize the implications of if people give their hearts and lives to Christ and are changed and come back to God, what that begins to do and can do in people's lives. So that's where we're going to stop today. I have no idea what time it is. Are we anywhere close to closing time? I got 1 minute left. Oh, I'm going to give you 1 minute extra. But guys, I appreciate your patience. Kids, thank you for helping with all this. Okay, it's important, and I appreciate that. So on the fifth Sunday, fifth Sunday of a month, when that happens, we'll do something similar to this again. We'll not use the same things. I'm going to advise Laura not to jump out of chairs and some things like that. I don't know if we have any visitors, but if you're visiting with us today, this is not a typical way of presenting a sermon or something like that, but I thought it'd just be really important for us to kind of get the kids involved, because a lot of this, guys, is specifically for you, to try to help you understand about God's standards and what they mean and the importance of them. All right, let's bow. Father, we come. And Lord, I know we're just kind of hitting the highlight here. We're just kind of hitting the top part. There's so much underneath to unpack from this. But Father, as a group of followers that are seeking your way, may we exhibit the qualities, may we be drawn to you in a way that demonstrates your character here on earth. Father, that we're not honest just because we want to be honest people, but we're honest because we want to honor you. We're not faithful just because we want people to notice we're faithful. We're faithful because we honor you and we reverence and respect you. Father, as we start the road to the cross and we look at what your Son did for us, what Jesus did, Lord, that we even have some of these ideas in the backdrop of our minds, and help us to kind of put it together on why Christ went to the cross. And we know some of the big reasons, Lord, but maybe that it even becomes more full in our understanding and how amazing, how precious, and how loving what Jesus did was. We do honor you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much. Next Sunday, we'll get back to a little bit more traditional. We'll start the road to the cross. And I think we only have 3 Sundays to Easter, right? So we've got next Sunday. Then the following Sunday is Palm Sunday, in which we'll be doing the Lord's Supper together. So once you come participate in that, and then Easter Sunday with the Easter breakfast and all of that. So that will be here quickly, and I look forward to that time of celebrating the risen Savior. All right, you are dismissed. Unless you're asleep, you just sit there, I guess.